podcast is sponsored by Erica Knight. The Erica Knight Yarn Collection is the eponymous hand-knit label by British author and fashion and knit and crochet designer Erica Knight. Erica says, "My yarn collection is concise and considered, with fibres and colours carefully selected so that you can be confident in choosing a beautiful, quality yarn for whatever you wish to create. My ethos has always been to keep things simple, to support British manufacturing where possible, to promote sustainable, natural fibres, and to celebrate traditional skills. When you are taking the time to craft something by hand, it is as much about the process as the final outcome, so for me, it's important to use the best possible materials. For further information, news and updates, please visit www.ericaknight.co.uk or follow them on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at Knightcraft. And that's craft with a K. Hello! Hi and welcome to Pomcast, coming live from the Edinburgh Festival. This is a podcast brought to you by Pom Pom Quarterly Magazine. I'm Sophie Scott and joined, very excitingly, by Bristol Ivy.
Yay!
Hi!
Hello!
Our super cool guest host.
I am so excited to be here.
People don't know Bristol, we interviewed you all the way back
years ago. Oh my gosh.
Now you're in Edinburgh. What are you doing here?
I'm in Edinburgh. I was teaching at the festival.
Yeah, and I plucked you out and I said, come talk to me.
And I was like, yes, please. I am down for this experience. Yes.
So yeah, we've got Bristol hanging out with us in Edinburgh. You're doing a bit of teaching here, yeah?
I did a bit of teaching. I taught yesterday and I taught this morning and then I decimated the marketplace.
As have many knitters, yeah.
Yes, has had many, many knitters.
The veritable clothes moth. To the world.
I know. There's like just tumbleweeds going through the marketplace at this point right now.
We're painting the picture. You probably hear it in the background, which I quite like.
Kind of yeah. So, bustling community.
Yeah, we do still have Lydia as part of the podcast, obviously. She is in Austin at the moment, shooting issue 21.
Yay!
Very exciting. More on that next episode, probably.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yes, hi, Lydia.
Yes, hi, Lydia. We say hi.
Yay, we miss you.
So, yeah, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So, we've got our usual stuff with a little Edinburgh vibe. We've got news and reviews, of course, Tell and Tell. We've got a fun interview with Rachel and Kate of Spin Cycle.
Who are amazing.
Yes, very punk rock. They do hand-dyed-in-the-wool, hand-spun.
Yes, yes. They started out as a spinning group or a spinning duo, yep. And then they moved to a mill, and it's still got that hand-painted feel, and no skate is the same.
Yeah, they're so really cool. They so gave me, cool. I feel like we're like best buds now. They gave me a badge which says death before acrylic.
Yes. So good.
And they also have a clothes moth one which says like F off the moth.
When they've got their bulky yarn is called Knit Fast, Dye Warm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They have badges with that on it too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes.
More on that later with the interview. So let's just slide right into news.
All right.
I mean, one of the main pieces of news, we're at Edinburgh.
We're at Edinburgh. It's amazing. It hasn't rained on us yet.
Oh, true.
Yet. Knock on wood. Wherever there's, we're at a
fine wood. This linen yarn will work. Well, I think we're going to have to talk to Pomcats. You're going to have to release the big news, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Which
so,
is?
Yeah, so Sophie mentioned maybe a few episodes back that there were some big things in the work for Pom Pom.
Yeah.
Pom Pom Press.
And
it might be something to do with me.
Yeah.
I think I might be doing a book, Sophie.
Here we go.
There
Bristol
we go.
Ivy, Pom Pom Press collaboration.
It's in public now. I can't run away now.
You've committed.
I've committed. But yes, we're doing a book and I am super excited.
Yeah,
super, super
yeah.
excited. It should be launching, fingers crossed, if everything goes well, it should be launching at Rhinebeck, mm-hmm. which I will be at the Pom booth and signing and eating as many cider donuts as people will bring me. Please bring me donuts.
If you want a book, bring donuts.
Oh, I like that bargain. That's a good, no, people can have books.
Good to be exchanged for money and services, yes. I don't know.
Books for donuts, no. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's a topic that I have been interested in for a really long time, which is pushing the boundaries of knitting. And that's kind of, it's what I love about knitting. And what I love about teaching is giving people the agency to push themselves beyond what they've already knit and seeing the possibilities of other stuff. So we're talking about different exercises you can do to push your knitting creativity. We're talking about the different ways you can manipulate your fabric. And then we're giving patterns that kind of illustrate all of those points and talk you through the math a little bit to see kind of how you get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, I'm really excited. We're like looking at models and looking at photo shoot locations, yeah. And I'm so excited.
Awesome.
So, also terrified, but it'll be fine. It'll be great.
Terrifyingly exciting.
Terrifyingly excited. It's like riding that balance between the two is like, that's where you live life. It's great. Yeah. It's great. It's great.
Well, great. Yes. Well, we're excited to be doing this with you.
I could not be more thrilled to be doing it with Pom Pom.
Like, and of course, yeah.
Yes, it's just the best of all possible situations.
Great. All right. So that's the big news, guys.
Yay!
You're up to date. And we'll keep you up to date with more on that, of course.
Yes.
Coming up before Rhinebeck, we have Pom Fest. Yay! Just a reminder for you guys. So the dates of that is 14th and 15th of July. So lots of exciting stuff in the works there. You know, we're going to have shopping, we're going to have partying, we're going to have different things. So keep your ears and your eyes peeled.
And I am excited to say that I'm going to get to come to Pom Fest.
Yes!
I'm so excited. It's going to be really fun to come over to London and hang out in the summertime.
Yeah. Hey, we do have it sometimes.
I know. I'm so excited. It's going to be really good. Yep. But no, I'm super excited to be coming to Pom Fest and to be hanging out with all of the cool people they have on the lineup, because holy moly.
All the Pom Cats. So not all the Pom guys cats. Who listen.
It's going to be so good.
Pom friends and family.
Pom friends, Pom family, Pom community, Pom...
Pom Squad.
Pom Squad.
We have to say Pom Zina, squad. Who's been helping us out on the stand this weekend.
Yes.
She came up with the term Pom Squad.
Pom Squad is amazing, and yeah. I really, really do think there needs to be a playlist.
Ooh, yeah, she's good at that as well.
Yes. Oh, it's going to happen. There better be a Pom Squad playlist at the Pom Fest.
Awesome. All right, we'll work on it.
Okay, excellent.
Cool. Well, moving on to Tell and Tell.
Tell and Tell.
I'm intrigued. What have you been knitting?
unsurprisingly, I am working on book stuff.
Oh.
Yes, I am currently working on one of my projects for the Increases and Decreases chapter. And it is a cardigan-y-ish thing.
Yeah, we have to keep it super vague.
Super
right
vague,
now.
Super vague. But it is in Baremu's Dovestone DK.
These guys are here, yeah.
Yes, love them. Love this yarn. It is a combo of BFL and Wensleydale and Masson, which are all long wools,
mm-hmm.
and yet which you expect to be kind of wiry and prickly, and yet it is so soft and so shiny, and everyone who sees it just kind of like involuntarily coos.
I do like a Wensleydale has that luster.
It does, yeah. And it's this kind of really confusing yarn, because it's just like, you shouldn't feel this good, but you do. But you do. And it's in this gorgeous kind of undyed gray. Loving knitting with it. Absolutely loving knitting it. And
I feel we give a shout out for people I've seen at the festival. We kind of missed that. Because,
I know.
Who did I love? It's Boost, I think I'm saying that wrong.
Oh, Boost, yeah.
Those guys are like based in... they're like doing Hebridean,
yes,
Scottishy, Argyle,
the good stuff,
the good
stuff, like the huffy stuff. Like you put your nose in it involuntarily and just like get up in there.
You've been huffing yarn.
I've been huffing yarn. I'm sorry, everyone. I've been huffing yarn. I can't help it.
Who else have you earmarked from festival?
Who did I get? I went by Carol Fellerspeed because she has her new yarn and she's doing fiber skates, and it's like I snagged some and now I'm not remembering what's in it. It's merino and linen and something else, I think. So it's just this really interesting kind of drapey, lightweight, sport weight, gorgeous concoction. And I'm really excited to play with that. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Tweed is obviously here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's big coming across the pond from the other coast of the U.S. So that's exciting to see them here. Who else? Old Maid Nod just published her book.
Oh, yeah. She's done.
Coming home book.
Yeah.
And...
10 years, yeah.
Yeah, 10 years of Old Maid Knot, and I definitely fell down in her booth and bought some yarn. but yeah, I've been wandering around in a daze pretty much. Mm. So, what have you seen that you've liked?
I really liked. I'm just going to check this note in my pocket, which I wrote down. Iona, yeah, they do. It's great because the fleece is kind of gray and it's over dyed, so you still get that kind of heathery texture.
Tone. Yeah.
And the yarn I wanted this one out. I moved too slow. So
you gotta be faster in those legs. Sophie.
They gave me a postcard. So
okay.
I'm gonna
I'm
gonna research that later.
Yeah.
Also, John Arbin.
Of course.
We love those
love
guys.
Them.
They've released Devonia. We were talking to John on the podcast last episode. I'm going to go see that. Cool. We did spend at least some good 5 minutes from flight. I was like, "What's your favorite one, John?" He's like, "Oh, well, you know, let's look at this one. This is wicked." And then like, it'd be 2 seconds. Be like, "No, this one. This one's a favorite as well." Like, yes, he's a man who loves his yarn.
Yes, I am absolutely loving seeing all of the small breeds popping up, like breed specific, small farm, small batch. It's so great to see especially in an area that has been so famous for wool production and has maybe kind of let that slide from, I mean, at least from my perspective. I'm sure that you have a better perspective on the British industry than I do, but not let slide either, but like it's been on the back burner.
Yeah.
Especially with the price, you know, Rachel, who does Daughter of a Shepherd, talking about how it's cheaper to burn it than it is to sell it. And the fact that now people are taking that yarn and taking that wool that may not have been as valuable in the past and really bringing it to knitters and saying, this is a valuable product. This is a valuable in terms of culture, in terms of heritage, in terms of history, in terms of geography. I just think that's awesome.
Yeah. Someone said to me, it was a really cool term that I'm going to like pretend is mine now. Someone's like, oh yeah, it's like the Rhinebeck of the UK now. Because this
it is totally the Rhinebeck of the UK.
Such a international feel.
It does. I mean, I had people in my class. Someone came from Australia.
Oh, wow.
To come for this. And there were people from all over Scandinavia and Europe and people from America. A lot of people from America this year. Like, a lot more than I remember seeing last year. So it's definitely becoming, like, the event.
Yeah, basically what we're saying, guys, you haven't come already.
You should come. You should really come.
We should give a big shout-out to Mika and Joe, actually.
Mika and Joe, the saints that organized this festival.
Absolute heroes. Oh, yeah.
They're massive heroes.
I was going to say, we spent a lot of time dancing at Kaylee.
Yes, and they organize the Kaylee every Friday night, and there is live music and dancing, and the guy calls out the dancing, and I can't understand his accent.
So really?
I'm always just like, okay, we're going to dance now.
The default is if you swing someone round and round, you're probably doing it.
Yes, you're probably doing it, but it was so much fun. I appreciated, Sophie, that you were another tall lady.
Yeah.
I could dance with. It was good.
Yeah. Was good. That's the thing when they were doing, like, and couples, so we need, you know, getting your couples, the man is on the outside, the woman's on the outside. It's like, oof, you get to scrape together 20 men, you know. And
yeah, but there were a good amount of men.
Yeah.
There were a good amount of men.
Some in kilts, so there we go.
I know.
There we go.
That was lovely. Yeah, it was super fun. Super, super fun. That is maybe one of the big reasons that I wanted to come back this year was the Kaylee. Because I was like, I just want to dance. It was great. So much fun. So I'm glad we did it. I'm glad they did it again.
Yes. Oh, wait. Back into Stand and Tell. Yeah.
Yes.
Remember that
knitting thing. That knitting thing that we're doing. What are you working on, Sophie?
So what am I doing? I'm doing a Radiate pullover. I feel like I kind of jump between saying jumper and pullover and sweater.
Yeah, you're continental.
Yeah, right. Continental. Not only in the knitting style, darling. So yeah, that's from the new Interpretations. We've got Volume 4. Obviously, we've got it here at the festival.
Yes, and it
online.
Is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So it's got a in the magazine, the book. Sorry, it's like a grey. You've got the like acid pink.
Yes.
But I'm going for like a gold, like a mustard gold, and a blue. John Alvin's Viola.
Nice. Oh, that yarn is so good.
Yeah.
And I know the exact mustard that you're talking about because Lydia has a pullover in that, right?
Yeah, she does.
Yes.
One of your designs. Let's drop that in.
Hey.
So yeah, I'm working on that. I'm also, because, you know, we're on the train. That's a bit of knitting time.
That's a good bit of knitting time. Yeah. Anything else on your needles?
So I've got also Anna Maltz did the penguin.
Yes.
And we have the Rockhopper shawl that she did, which has like a stripey.
Oh, and yes, it's got like the chevron-y thingy thing.
Yes, yes.
Words thing. Good. The thingy thing, I'm so good at words right now.
Yeah, I'm doing like a deep snatch dive of something that I've had for about 5 years.
Nice.
So, putting in a little bit of speckles, and then something nice, so it's a nice tosh sock, one in a kind of greeny, one in a pink.
Ooh.
Pretty happy.
What's the overall color tone?
All the colors, no.
All the colors.
Like, so, we've got like, yeah, the sort of turquoise green and then a hot pink. And then there's a La Bien-Aimé speckled one that I got. So
nice.
Mainly because I thought, oh, spring happens. I remember those colors.
Those colors, they exist again in my life.
So that's pretty fun.
Nice. That sounds really good.
Moving on to reviews, we have some Studio Linen, which has been given to us by our lovely sponsors, American Knight.
It is beautiful, beautiful yarn. I'm just kind of sitting here petting the swatch.
Tell me about the swatch, yeah.
So the swatch, it just has a really nice hand to it. So the yarn is made from recycled linen fibers and a viscose blend. So it has a really soft, drapey feel. And I told you this before, I'm like all about the sweatshirt feeling yarns. Like I want sweaters that I can live in and like fall asleep and accidentally and not feel, because we've done it.
Yeah.
And it's, I want it to be to feel okay to do that, not feel like it's a precious thing.
Yeah.
I want it to feel like it's part of my wardrobe. And I think this yarn would be fantastic for it. Mm. It's got really good stitch definition. It feels like it's just going to be a nice, light, summer weight garment.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I like because it's not like a negative way to describe a yarn, but it's kind of dry in its feeling.
I like that feeling. Yeah.
You kind of get that crispness. Christmas, yay.
Yay, Christmas.
Yeah, you kind of get that crispness in the yarn. And I think sometimes in linen I can get them a little too tough and stringy.
Yes.
And this, it does have that sort of softness to it.
Right, it combats the things we don't like about linen with keeping the things we do like about linen.
Right, yeah.
Taglines.
Yeah.
Call me. No, don't call
me. One of the cool things that they've released for 2017 now is the new Shibori-inspired colors.
Ooh.
So the one we've got here is called Pajama, which I kind of like. It's kind of like a very soft indigo-y blue.
Yes. I would totally like pajamas in this.
Yeah. Is this the next project, Knit Pajamas? Are we going that way?
We can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what possessed me, but like right when Malabrigo first started becoming a thing, I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll knit a pair of boxers in Malabrigo.
Oh.
And then I was like, this is a terrible idea, actually. Let's not do this.
Sometimes you have to do those things.
Yes.
So.
Just kind of get it out of your system. I'm glad I didn't do that, actually. I'm glad that is no longer a thing. But this would be wonderful for pajamas.
Yes.
Very cool, very light, very drapey.
I think he's summery tops.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So one thing, I did the swatch with this. I used a 4mm, which is kind of the largest recommended size for this. And it has sort of lent itself to the drapiness of this.
Yes.
Kind of gives it the openness.
Yeah. What size needle do you think you could go down to on this?
I probably wouldn't. You know what? Probably wouldn't, because I like the thing with linen. It has that kind of the quality. The more you wear it, the more like loose and drapey it gets.
Right.
And I like that. I think I mean, if you wanted to, maybe I'd even just maybe 3.5. So I went with a 4 with this. I probably wouldn't go too tight.
Yeah. Do you think it's something that you'd want to seam for stability, or do you think it's something that can hold on its
good
own?
Shout. God, designer's brain here with these questions. Yeah. I think I would,
just to give it a little bit of stability, because it does just have that really beautiful hand to it, but it has the potential to kind of be around your knees if it's in a seamless garment, which is just, I mean, that's always the case with fibers that don't have membrane. We know that. It's all good. Yeah.
So cool. That was, thanks to Erica Knight, sponsor of the podcast. If you're interested in Erica Knight, she spoke to us episode 9.
Yay!
Yeah, she's got a cool...
We are throwing it old school this
time. I know, I checked out all the references,
Good job, Sophie.
So that's the Studio Linen with the new indigo-dyed hues for 2017. We'll have more information on the blog, lots of links, pictures of the swatch. So yeah, check it out.
All right, sounds good.
We've also got a great giveaway, courtesy of Erica Knight. You could win 10 skeins of Erica Knight Studio Linen in the colour Pajama. Simply head over to the Pom Pom blog to enter. That's pompommag.com/podcast. So, who do we bump into at Edinburgh Yarn Festival? It was Rachel and Kate of Spin Cycle. Had a little chat to them backstage at Edinburgh Yarn Festival. They told us about the yarn, about their process, mill, and how pretty cool they are.
They are really cool.
They're pretty cool.
They're really cool.
All right, let's hear from those guys. Yeah. So backstage at Edinburgh Yarn Festival, I'm thrilled to be joined with Kate. Hello.
Hello.
And Rachel.
Hi.
Hi. I think we should establish you are two people, two different voices. I want to say Spincicle. Is it Spincycle or Spincicle? Is it interchangeable?
Oh, we call it Spincycle, but Spincicle sounds very British.
I don't know, it's
British.
Very whimsical. I will call it its proper name, which is Spincycle.
I mean, we might change it to Spincicle when we get home.
Sounds like a whimsical icicle.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, I'm probably rebranding now. What happened? Thanks for joining us. When people ask what you do, what do you say? What's your ethos? What's your brand?
If it's somebody I'm trying to impress, I say I do yarn manufacturing.
Yes.
And anyone else, I would just say that we are hand dyers.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of are hand dyers. We hand dye our wool in sort of a traditional hand spinner style, and then we have it micro milled into knitting yarn, so it maintains a hand spun look while being produced in some great enough quantity to wholesale.
Yeah, we started out as a hand spinnery where we were just dyeing everything in tiny batches and spinning it by hand, so when people ask what I do, my impulse is still to just be like, I make yarn, which doesn't really, it's, people are like, oh, cute. But it's actually been a full-time job for both of us for over a decade.
Mm-hmm. So how did that, how did that start then? How do you guys meet?
We met selling health food at a food co-op in Bellingham, Washington. And we are both completely self-taught fiber people. Like, I think we each have maybe like a couple random hours here and there of a little bit of lessons, but pretty much just do it the Kate and Rachel way, which isn't necessarily the right way, but it works. So
yeah.
So, but we had the same style of doing things.
Weird. Yeah, we. I think we maybe you saw some knitting sticking out of my bag at work or something. We were working at the food co-op, which is like the quintessential 20-something hippie job in Bellingham. Like, you have to.
Not to say that running a the yarn business is much less like that.
That's true.
Hippie job.
Yeah, we just started talking and we started to hang out together and knit together. And
I lived in this like hippie house with 13 people and this giant weird kitchen. And one day we like got a couple of dye pots from the little fun.
Mine wasn't even
store.
A dye pot. It was a pot roast pan. Yeah. Remember this black ceramic? Yeah.
Like a turkey roasting pan.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I like it, yeah.
And mine was a 5-gallon stainless steel, but like a really flimsy stainless steel pot. And the first day we ever dyed together was Easter Sunday. We weren't observing, so we were just dyeing some yarn. And she dyed this beautiful color that we still do today.
Yeah.
So, so we repeat our colors, though not everyone can tell that they match, because part of Spin Cycle is finding the perfect Easter egg skein that's going to be a little different than all its brothers and sisters.
I think that ties back into the Easter egg kind of...
Yeah.
Oh, man, you could...
It's all on purpose.
You really brought that around.
Yeah, totally on purpose.
So one of the phrases I keep seeing with the Spin Cycle yarn is dyed in the wool. Could you explain that?
People listening. That is why nobody is exactly competitive with us, is because it's dyed in the wool. There's a lot of people who hand dye existing already spun yarn, and don't get me wrong, there's so many different styles and techniques to that, but you can't accomplish dyed in the wool style yarn by dyeing yarn. You have to start in the raw or loose wool and then mill it after. So it's a process and also a name we really liked. So it's sort of the name of our line of yarn, of our sport weight, highly variegated yarn is dyed in the wool.
Yeah, and that style of dyeing results in a really saturated, like totally permeated yarn.
Right, because when this technique came into fashion where they kind of spray and speckle the outside of yarn, the inside is still kind of white. So with the dyed in the wool yarn, it's dyed like through and through, which is, you know, no matter how long you wear it, the colors will always stay bright. You'll never actually like wear off the dyed layer of the wool.
It's also kind of a pain in the ass for a mill to... Oh, is it okay?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I love it.
It's a bit tricky for mills to deal with a fiber that's been dyed already.
It's a little torn up.
It can get a little mangled and a little felty and stuff. So we're really lucky that our mill is as accommodating as they are, and they
both are mills. We have two mills that deal with our dyed fiber.
So talking about the mill, maybe we should rewind to the beginning again.
Oh, right.
You
back
guys,
to the mill.
Yeah, you study everything was exclusively hand spun by you guys, and then the introduction of the mill is sort of changed and developed. So how's that worked?
We both had kids. Rachel's son is 6 years old, and my daughter Iona is 5 years old. And that was like a make it or break it time for us. We were like not sure if our dream of being spinsters forever would be over that day or not. But then this mill opened up, a brand new mill, which is key because they didn't know the right way to do it. So they didn't mind doing it the wrong way with us.
Yeah, we met them, I guess our kids... don't know, our kids were like 1 and 2, maybe not even.
Yeah.
And Spin Cycle, as we knew it, had really like plateaued. And it had plateaued in a low place. I mean, our production had gone down so much because we, before we had kids, we just worked as much as we wanted to. We'd work at our studio and we'd bring work home. And
sometimes hand spin 8 hours a day.
Yeah. And
that's a phenomenal amount of work. I just laser that. The strain on your body, though, as well. I suppose that also why it plateaus, because
we
can't
started
kinda
to be shaped one shoulder up, one shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
Down.
Yeah.
But we mirror each other the way we spin. We just look at each other and laugh. One of us spins left-handed, and one of us spins right-handed.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The time just wasn't available anymore to spin, and we just didn't have inventory, and it was exhausting to try to do shows with little kids to think about and bring with us often. And it just, yeah, we had to reevaluate. And then the smell opened.
And we hated spinning fine yarn for socks and whatnot because it takes forever. So we're like, well, let's have the mill thread our fine yarn. See how that goes.
Yeah, we were just going to keep hand spinning singles and super bulky and let them take over all of our finer two ply because that was like the thing that took all the time and we couldn't charge enough to, you know, compensate ourselves for the time that it took.
So this is like 2010, 2011?
Yeah.
So I think shawls were getting really popular right around then. Like scarves were officially over and shawls were starting, right? Like
yeah.
Fashion, knitting fashion-wise. So the fine yarn started to be in demand.
Mm-hmm. So we dyed some fiber like we always do, same
done
process and
now
everything.
Yeah.
and we sent it over to the mill and we talked about the thickness, the weight that we wanted, and they
hang out all day long with them.
Yeah.
On it.
Looking at the spinning frame in wonder because it looks nothing like a spinning wheel, and it was our first time to be in a mill, and they sent us home with this yarn that when we started swatching with it, we couldn't believe it. The process of pin drafting, because when you're hand spinning, you split the fiber many times, however many times you want, but you get like a shorter color repeat. And the way that the mill was drafting it, the color repeats got very long and stretched out and very, it just created this whole new look that was really beautiful. And
just like a wild, unpredictable gradient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think if people haven't come across your yarn now, it's the fun thing of listening to something and trying to describe what it looks like. So it's sort of, you do have like a mild kind of look. There's no sort of solid matteness to your colors.
Rarely.
Yeah.
Occasionally, two plies will line up perfectly for a moment.
Yeah.
But rarely. It's usually marled. So people think, oh, you must dye like 10 pots with all different colors. But each skein is one pot of yarn. So we layer the fiber in with
color. Or each colorway.
Yeah, each colorway. So a skein from a colorway is only, it all existed in under hot water in one pot together at one point. And so we build the color in like lasagna, like, you know, add a layer of some color, add some more wool, add some more color, add some more wool. And then the yarns, it's like, usually all from one family of color kind of marled onto each other because in some places the colors blend, in some places they're very separated. So long, slow color changes. Show it with words.
We'll have pictures on the blog as well.
But okay.
Describing
that's
colors,
useful.
You know, it's that kind of magic where you're like, it's kind of like this, but kind of like that. I don't know. Lydia and I like doing that a lot.
Yeah.
SpinCycleYarns.com. Rachel does beautiful photography.
Oh, there we go. Nice plug. I like that.
Yeah. Good job.
So talking more about color, you're saying it's sort of you're working from a lasagna of fiber putting together. Is there like a concept where you're like, well, we know we're kind of going for like, this is going to kind of look like the sea, or this is kind of going to be like this, or is it you just sort of start with an instinctual playing and then that's the color? Like,
we both of you flip through the pictures in our phones. There would be like a weird picture of a wall or, you know, with some graffiti on it or some leaves. You know, we just see a few colors together all the time and snap a picture and we're like, oh, let's try that in a yarn. So definitely a lot of different places to find colors to put together. One of my favorite projects is when stores who carry us ask us for an exclusive colorway, because the way they ask for it is always different. Mm. I've had a store send me Pantone chips to be like
actual chips
exact
in the mail,
yeah.
Colors
yeah.
represented, and you're like, okay, I'll
that's
give that a shot.
Intimidating.
So far, it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, I want it to look like, you know, a cloudy, stormy sea, you know, like
yeah.
use just some words.
Yeah.
Which
sometimes
is,
they'll send us a photograph.
Yeah, I've had, yeah, Elena Dacos suggested a color for Botanical Knits too, and she sent us this beautiful picture. It was kind of like an Andy Goldsworthy looking photograph
mm-hmm.
of leaves. It might have been a photo she took though. It was beautiful.
But it's this like ombre of fall leaves.
Yeah, that was fun. So
mm-hmm.
can get some color ideas almost anywhere.
Once I took a picture of a turkey at the state fair. It was like the most beautiful turkey.
It was a gorgeous turkey.
And I did a really good colorway. And Kate and I had a huge fight because she wouldn't let me name it Cold Turkey.
Just sounded so gelatinous and disgusting. And like raw meat.
Wait, what is that? Is that wallflower?
Yeah.
That's wallflower.
Oh, it's wallflower now. It's not like, oh, okay.
That was our compromise. She
just
was like,
so everybody who's listening knows, it was supposed to be Cold Turkey.
Oh, it's all coming out now, right?
Culture related. And our newest yarn, Versus, which is a whole line of 12 colors of marl. So it's all gray with a hand dye dyed in the wool next to it.
Mm-hmm.
We have one that's black and gray, and I wanted to call it Bantam, like a chicken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel vetoed me. It's suit and tie.
Because of the Justin Timberlake song.
So,
well, my mom has Bantams. I would have gone for that one.
Right?
Yeah, that's so cute.
Right?
So it's, you know, hard to run a business with two bosses.
Yeah.
Sometimes we fight over the really important stuff like naming colorways.
Yeah, it's really lucky we get along about everything else.
How do you guys get the balance? Because if you're working together all the time, do you still, like, hang out
yeah.
without work stuff? Or do you find, like, oh, you know that colorway, we should do this with that and stuff? Or...
We hang out all the time. Our
mm-hmm.
kids are best friends. We live a block apart from each other.
It's really weird.
But we still go a week without seeing each other. But I always miss you, and I think of like 30 things I can't wait to tell you.
Yeah, we text each other incessantly when we're not together.
Mm-hmm. Man, it is as rosy as it seems then, guys. You have the best like working relationship and friendship. So yeah.
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 We
do fight.
We had this like year where we didn't get along, like kind of toward the beginning, and you might have how much we didn't get along from the fact that we were always just wearing headphones when we had to work together. You can see how sick of each other we are by how many times we have headphones.
But you know what? At that point, we had just stopped. When we first became friends and started this business, we also lived together.
Yeah.
And that year of silence was like at the end of living together, maybe we had just stopped living together. And that was like, that was a bridge too far.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard. But now we don't live together. We do live very close.
Mm-hmm.
And we see each other at work all the time. But it's like, yeah, that's really good.
You make it work.
It's just right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our ideal relationship.
That was the thing that,
yeah. We just knit a sweater together.
Oh!
She knit the body. And it's
oh,
a
really?
Pom-pom sweater.
It is. I was going to say, we're going to have to get
yes.
a photo of this. It's amazing. So what, is this your new blendy yarn?
Yeah,
what's
it's called Versus.
Versus, right.
So yeah, it's
yeah.
the marl.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. We'll get a photo of this. Again, it's the listing thing of like, look at this thing.
Look at it.
It looks so good. It's unbelievable.
So wait, you guys matched on gauge? Is that how simpatico your relationship is?
Oh,
there?
She had to size down.
Oh, okay.
Size up a needle.
Mm-hmm.
I was on sixes.
Yeah,
I'm
a tighter knitter.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
But still.
But
we know
without swatching how to get
that's a friendship. Come on, right?
Right? That's it.
And you knit, you throw and I pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's also different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of verses, you've had dyed in the wool.
Mm-hmm.
Can you let people know what are the yarns you have?
Yeah. So dyed in the wool is our sport weight. Versus is our DK weight. Then we have Independence, which is a single, so it's one single ply of variegated, like heavy worsted, almost to bulky weight.
Mm-hmm.
So in the States we call it Aran. I'm now seeing, since I've been learning about the English and Scottish way of talking about yarn that you got Erin is like worsted over
yeah,
there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think for you worsted is a little bit thinner.
A little thinner? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's a crash course of looking around.
Yeah.
Learning some things. And then we have really fabulous super bulky, which is for like size 13 to 17 needles.
Yes.
So it's just like this giant macro version of our dyed in the wool. And we have the singles machine spun, but Rachel hand plies every single skein of
the super bulky,
Which is called Knit Fast Dye Young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, as it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
Each color is named after a rap song. So.
So you're still involved in the, although you have the mill, is that really important to still have that hand quality to it?
It's nice. It's nice to still get to sit at my spinning wheel, which is now electric, so I can go really fast.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's good to have that kind of tactile relationship with the yarn still.
Yeah.
Because there are some weeks that I just sit in front of a computer all week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it weren't for just moving yarn around in the studio, I wouldn't touch yarn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's nice to have that. It's nice to still be producing that by hand.
Do you still sort of spin for, like, pleasure? You'd be like, oh, I can't wait to do this just for me.
Kate did recently. I haven't spun for pleasure in a long time.
Yeah. I spun for a boy. There was a boy who wanted a black scarf.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, you want, like, a black scarf? Yeah, I want a black scarf. A scarf? A seed stitch scarf? So that's devotion right
that
there.
That is, yeah.
Hand spun
black.
Black yarn. So boring.
I think you guys are giving like the best knitting metaphors, like, oh yeah, you know, she knits like this and that, but the same tension, you know, and the black scarf, it's great. I want to go back to the mill again, because I think it's really interesting that you went from the hand spun to then introducing the mill with more kind of sort of machine based thing. How did you get the balance to keep your sort of hand spun fun kind of texture?
That's pretty much. Well, one thing that's pretty different about our dyed-in-the-wool yarn compared to a lot of similar weight yarns is it's, to be a sport weight yarn, it's more wool, so it's a little bit more dense, more wool spun down a little harder and then plied a little tighter. So we really wanted to create an heirloom quality yarn, so it's more pill resistant that way. But so, yeah, being able to kind of control exactly how it's milled, so it's milled to look a lot exactly like our specific spinning style, which was always a little like tighter and firmer than
but it still kind of got that thick and thin texture, and I think it's because the fiber comes to them a little roughed up from being dyed first, so it's hard to like pin draft a perfect thickness. Also the milling equipment is like pretty small scale, so I think that gives it a little bit of an inconsistency. We really like that.
Like
that look a lot.
And indulge me, pin drafting is like carding, but
it's after carding. It's pin drafting. So if the part of hand spinning that it replaces is between your finger your pinched together fingers that are closest to the orifice. And then the one that's just controlling the fiber.
Drawing. Behind. Yeah.
So drawing or drafting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So it basically draws and drafts before the machine. The machine also draws and drafts, but the pin drafting kind of uniforms it all, gets it all regular.
Okay. So yeah, you guys are here at Edinburgh Yarn Festival. How's it going so far? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. We're having a really good time.
Yeah.
We do a lot of shows in the States. And this is, like, all these companies and makers are different. I mean, there are a couple, like the Fiber Co.
Yeah.
We see them in Brooklyn Tweed. We see them everywhere. But
And your favorite yarn of all times is here.
Oh, yeah. Bal Remu.
Yeah. We see them because they go to the States.
Yeah, but other than those, it's, like, it's all new stuff.
Any faves so far? Or any, like,
well, we got these.
We got some yarn bags that we really like.
Oh, we took
like
the tag off. I can't remember.
It was like woolly bags or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it says so. And it said
woolly originals.
Woolly originals. Oh.
They machine knit Shetland Fair Isle patterns and then make it into knitting bags. And we saw that on the EYF Instagram like 3 weeks ago and beeline this morning before it was even open. And I'm glad because they totally sold out.
They're completely empty.
Yeah, I've walked past a couple of stores that are quite decimated already. Yeah. Yeah, with context recording this, it's like Friday afternoon. Like it's only day one.
Yeah.
Not even the end of the day.
I hope they have some more at home.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
She said she reserved some for tomorrow. She told that to our friend who was heartbroken. And so it was our first time touching the Kate Davies yarn that she made. And that's pretty dreamy.
Yeah.
There's also an Iona yarn, which is sheep grown on the island of Iona, the Isle of Iona.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen them. I was thinking, like, where I've walked past. I've kind of done all the stop tools and things.
I'm pretty excited about it. I love when people take gray, natural gray wool and dye it a color, like a light wash of dye over the natural gray. It's so beautiful. That's like the Dovestone.
Yeah, Dovestone UK does that.
And I'm going to buy some because my daughter's name is Iona. And even though she's like, Mom, I hate wool. I don't care. I'm not going to knit it for her. I'm going to just have it.
Yeah, if anything's going to, like, win her over, it's going to be
her own name. I'll give her the label off the ball.
And you guys are hanging out with Luke. You've got stuff going on there.
We did a little teamwork. We dyed a color of yarn that's just special for Luke. So that's there. It's called Moth to Flame. And it's going to Luke after, so you may see it around. Yeah. And then our good friend Andrea Mowry, better known as Drea Renee Ness, designed a pattern called Across the Pond.
I love that name. It's so cute. Yeah.
Yeah. So we gave her some parameters. So it's 400 yards, which might be 100 grams of sport. That might be something I learned today.
Yeah.
I don't know. So she used 400 yards of this really nice American grown and milled merino that we sell, just a plain natural off the sheep gray, and then one skein of her dyed in the wool. And so we asked her, can you really make one skein show off every single centimeter? There, I'm trying.
I like that.
Yeah.
Just drop it in the lingo.
Yeah, just drop it in a centimeter here and there. Nice nod to the metric system.
Yeah. It's subtle, right?
Yeah, it's subtle.
So she did this mosaic knitting. So the stitch travels. And then if you look at the stitch, the overall pattern looks like a going sideways knit stitch.
Yeah, if you like hold the cowl on the bias, it looks just like, wait, do you have one?
This is great. We got show and tell again.
Here it
is. Yeah. So it's like, the little arrows of a bee of a net. Yeah.
Or like tiger tracks or something. I don't know. But it's called Across the Pond.
Yeah. And then our friend and employee Nora designed a special little like a sheep munching a dandelion with a little rabbit. And it's like a little spin cycle loop.
Yay.
Very thing. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. RAF bag.
Yeah. So it's a little knit kit, a special knit kit.
Cool. All right. You guys got any other plans while you're in Edinburgh?
We wanna see up some kilts. Just kidding.
Do you know the joke? The what's worn under a Scotsman's kilt?
What?
The answer is nothing. Because it's all in tip-top condition. Like, what's worn, like, nothing's damaged.
Nothing's worn!
So now you can send that in as a local
knowledge. That'll be picked up and scouted. Yeah, but besides up some kilts, which, you know, we want to hike and see some pretty stuff.
Yeah, we want to get out of town a little bit. Yeah. We don't know how to do that yet, but we'll figure it out. We have another week.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Oh, yeah. Make a week of it. And climb up Arthur's Seat. That's not a euphemism for like a kilt thing again. But
really. Climbing right up his seat. That was a recommendation that we had. Definitely, so I'm excited about that. And then my darling, helpful little cousin, Lily, lives in the city, and she let us ship everything to her. She came over last night and made kits with us.
Mm-hmm.
And she had some good recommendations of beautiful places to see that you knew from Irvine Welsh novels. Is that right?
Oh, right. Yeah. It's the grittier side of town. I don't know.
But we won't do heroin.
Yeah. Okay. No.
That'll be one difference.
Yeah. We're going to draw the line there. We're going to do
different kind of needles, right?
Yeah. What else are we going to do? Some shoe shopping, some whiskey tasting.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
All
right.
Yeah.
That's kind of solid. Well, we're going to move on to a classic podcast question.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, if you're an animal, what would you be? Like, separate, unless you have a combined, like, cool mythical animal. I thought of that at the moment. It could be something like
Do
that now.
Do you want to pick the head of the animal and I'll pick the body? No, I know my animal.
Yeah?
I, for the first time this past summer, saw mountain goats.
Ooh, okay.
In Washington, they were just chilling on the side of a mountain, and it was like a mom and her babies. They are woolly. They are fabulous. They hike around with ease. I don't know how the heck those hoofs can navigate rocks.
Yeah.
But it was pretty amazing.
Right.
So mountain goat, for sure.
The resilience and the balance is in there within you.
That's good. Scary, woolly.
That's like the opposite of my animal. Okay. I want to be a hibernating bear.
Nice, just a beautiful bear.
I just want to stay at home and be warm and sleep.
Okay, but like, do you know how they don't poop the bed when they hibernate?
No.
Okay, my dad just told me this.
Okay.
They eat, like, a massive amount of twigs, and it dams them up for the winter.
That's my worst nightmare.
That's why he, like, a hibernating bear that wakes up is so grumpy, because that's the first order of business. Get that out. So you want to stick with that?
Why are you trying to ruin my animal?
You would be the cutest bear.
You're just a bear with some prune juice. You're fine, you know.
Yeah.
I figure you guys also, like, if you're a mountain goat and a bear, they're kind of mountainous. Yeah,
yeah.
They'd hang out together, so...
We're still Washington native.
It's true. Yeah.
Are you, like, a protected grizzly?
Yeah.
Nice.
Go. Awesome. Perfect. All right, and our other poem question is your desert island yarn. You're cast upon a desert isle. You could choose a yarn to take. I don't know whether I should give you the guys the rule that it can't be a spin cycle yarn.
Okay, well, we thought about this, and we do everything together, so we're going to be on the same desert island.
Okay, like, that's a given. You're like, we are.
Yeah, no, we discussed this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I was going to bring Dyed in the Wool,
mm-hmm.
because it looks so good with...
Dovestone TK.
You guys. Look at that.
So we're going to just be striping it up. On the desert island.
Striping Fair Isles and...
Fair Island. Mosaic.
The Fair Isle of the island.
Yeah, because those are some warm yarns, so we better go to a chilly island.
Yeah, a northern island.
Yeah.
Not a Caribbean island.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. We have said, like, people have been like, oh, you know, what's on the island? Is it arid? You know, am I going to take a linen thing? Is that going to help? So,
yeah.
But yeah, we'll go with chilly. Chilly Isles.
Chilly,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what can people expect from Spin Cycle in the future? Have you got any collaborations, new yarns?
We're just rolling out our new verses, and I don't know, we need our next great idea. We'll have to figure something out.
Yeah, we're just in the middle of rolling out verses. Mm-hmm. We have exactly half of the colorways that we mean to have.
Yeah.
So that's kind of taking up a lot of brain space right now.
But there's definitely some designs that are coming out that we dabble in designing. We're not the most amazing designers, but we have a sweater that we've been working on for a while that's going to come out soon. So, yeah. So maybe you'll see some verses and then some more ways to use the existing spin cycle you already have.
Yeah, probably some new kits.
Mm-hmm.
We like putting kits together.
Cool.
All right. If people want to keep in touch, like on social media things, where do they go?
We aren't good at any other social media besides Instagram. Rachel runs our Instagram. She does a really good job.
Yeah. SpinCycle_yarns.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. And if you see us on Twitter or Facebook, it's just...
We've probably been hacked.
It'll be just reposts of our Instagram.
Yeah.
Pictures of bears, I don't know.
Yeah,
Rachel does our website totally. Like, we don't have an IT person. It's Rachel. She does such a beautiful job.
Aww.
She nails the photography, which is hard to do because there's a lot of colors involved. So, SpinCycleYarns.com. She does a beautiful job there.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Well, I think I missed anything, but that's great. Yeah, I have to say thank you now.
Don't have our plugs for us.
Yeah.
We love Pom Pom. We're such fans.
Oh,
we
guys.
Podcasts.
We love you. Come on. Yeah, so thanks for joining me. Wish Lily was here as well. But
Yeah,
another time.
Yeah.
We
brought our Thule mitts with us. We've been wearing our Thule
mitts the
whole time.
No way. Lily's design.
Yeah.
Oh, man, she's so psyched about that.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
We were doing like stuff, we were checking on the website. Like, we were like, oh, should we interview? Yeah, let's interview these guys. And then Lily was like, oh, I'm on the website. And she's like, I'm next to Stephen West. How did that happen? She liked it. She got a shout out.
Yeah.
She really liked that.
Nice. Very cool.
Cool. Well, enjoy the rest of the festival, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Thank you, Kate and Rachel, for joining us.
All right, so is it your favorite part of the podcast? Did you top three? Have top
I
three?
Love top three.
Well, I you're in luck.
Yes.
It's time for top three.
Yay!
So we have to say thanks to a Ravelry user who's Pretty to Emma? Who suggested top three fictional knitters.
Ooh.
And I highly suggest you guys check on the Ravelry forum, because if you didn't know, it's a pom-pom group, and within that, there is a little podcast
and
forum.
And it's super fun.
Okay, we're all cool there. You can go on and see her suggestions, which I found so heartwarming.
Yeah, yeah. And it's honestly something that I'd never really thought about before. Like, mm-hmm. I've never... I was like, oh, that's great, but I don't log it in my memory.
Right.
The fictional characters who knit, because I'm just like, yes, this is a part of life. This is a thing we do.
But you've done your research now.
I've done my research, and I just realized I'm going to change the order around in my head right now.
Ooh.
I am like on the fly here.
Do you need me to go first then? You have a thing?
I think I can do it.
All right, let's go.
Okay. Are we going in order? Like,
usually we go 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. All right. This is tough. So I'm going to include weaving.
Okay.
Weaving and spinning, because I am multi-craftual.
Mm-hmm.
Knitting is my baby, but I also love spinning and love weaving.
You can foster other children in the
yes.
fiber community.
I have like a 40-inch floor loom.
Oh, wow.
In my tiny apartment that I have not used in like a year and a half.
Wow.
It's mostly used to like put clothes on. So someday.
It's like sensing what its future will be. Like,
I know.
Oh,
it's like
clothes.
I will create clothes someday. Okay, so to start with, I have to say... do you know the movie Practical Magic?
I don't. I feel I'm going to learn about it right now.
It is pretty fantastic. So it is, I think, late 90s. Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman are sisters who are witches, mm-hmm. of course, like you do. And they live in this big, old, rambling house in New England with their two witch aunts.
Okay.
And it's a love story, and there's stuff that goes down, and all this sort of stuff. But there is spinning stuff and weaving stuff all over the house. And I think there's one scene where one of them is winding yarn and one of them is weaving. But I love the thought of having this massive, rambling New England farmhouse covered in yarn. Because I feel that might be my future.
Hey, it's a good thing to aim to. I like
yeah,
it.
And I mean, it's insulation. It works really well against the winters to do that.
Okay.
So I have to say the aunts from... Practical Magic. And yep. then this one is really obscure.
Okay.
But there is two or three books, it's like young adult, beginning reader, by a writer named Monica Furlong. And they're called Juniper and Wise Child. Juniper is one and Wise Child is the other. And again, about witchcraft. I don't know.
Okay.
This is, I'm sensing a trend here. This is interesting.
What's the craft, right? Of
yes.
The yarn,
yes. It's like, I find it really interesting that self-possessed women who were good with their hands and good with creating things kind of were a little bit of social outcasts in the past because they had self-agency and self-capacity and ability to do things. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Anthropology for another.
I don't know. I want to go and hold off passive.
I know. It's like, this is like a full dissertation.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's like women who have held agency and have held... self-sufficiency and power in previous generations are typically kind of outcast from society. So it is very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go home and make like a bibliography for
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
we'll see. But anyway, in Juniper and Wise Child, part of the story is that the witches each have to make a cloak from start to finish. So from collecting the fiber to washing the fiber to dyeing it with to collecting the dye stock. To dyeing it, to spinning it, to weaving it, and like picking the pattern and warping loom and putting it all together. And I read this book as a kid and loved it. But I was not into fiber arts at that point. Like, my mom was a knitter and I thought it was really dumb. She thinks that's hilarious now, by the way.
Did she remind you? She's like, you remember when you think knitting was stupid?
Yeah, she was like, you remember when you like yelled at me to make you socks and you were not into them? And I was like, I know, I'm really sorry. I'll make you socks now.
I've just spent my life's work making it up to you now. Yeah.
Yes, pretty much. And I'm totally down for that. She deserves it. She's a good woman. Yeah, so I was totally not interested in that. But going back to it, it feels it resonates so strongly with like the little threads of threads. There we go. The little threads of creativity and creation that I've played with my entire life.
You don't know, that might have like planted a seed.
It might have planted a seed. It really might have planted the seed. So I think I'm due for a reread on this.
Yeah, it just gave me a little thrill of excitement. You're talking about like collecting it and making it.
Yes,
this is what
this is all the things. And I love doing that. I haven't had the chance to do that a lot, but I used to do stuff from scratch. Like I would dye the fiber, spin the fiber, weave the fiber, dye the fiber, spin the fiber, knit the fiber. And I loved doing that. And I kind of miss doing that. I miss the start to finish action. So we'll see if I can get a little bit more of that in my future.
All right. Okay. I'm excited to know what number one is now.
Okay. Okay. So number one, is Marilla from Anne of Green Gables.
Ooh, nice choice.
He's the mother figure from Anne of Green Gables. And she starts out in the book as very kind of proper and rigid and softens and grows to figure out how to love when Anne comes into her life. But she's always kind of furiously knitting in the background.
It's been so long since I've read that. I completely forgot about that. You know, it's something I probably didn't even register when I read it.
You don't see it a huge amount. It's not mentioned a huge amount. But like even when you watch the shows, like they're just covered in knitwear. So I'm like, that's all Marilla.
Yeah.
She's just doing that. And that's like, that's her expression of love. She's not good at talking about love, but she does it with her hands. And that just makes me so happy. Okay, so those are my three.
I've got
the aunts, I've got Juniper and Wise Child, and I've got Marilla.
Love it. All right, okay. I shamelessly took something that our RAV user, Peter Emma, has used.
But totally fair.
I now can like link it into a context of what happened.
Okay.
So, traveling up on the train, and, you know, 5 hours trip from London, it's a good time for knitting.
Yes.
And Amy, who I work with, she's set me up with some Harry Potter audiobooks.
Yes.
So start from the beginning, have to do it, you know.
Yeah, you got
to
do it proper.
And it's so soothing and comforting, like, as it is reading a book from your childhood.
Yes. I have to ask, though, the Jim Dale ones or the Stephen Fry?
I know Stephen Fry.
Good. Okay. Okay. We can still be friends. It's
good.
Good. Yes. Yes. They're so good.
So I'm enjoying his like accents and like interviewing and little,
so good.
Little characterizations of everyone.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's little like facets of it, like just little phrases that I remember hearing and I'm really enjoying, which is, you know, so like kind of set into your childhood.
Yes.
And there's this little bit where he's the first on the train in London, they've gone to Diagon Alley and stuff. Hagrid sits on the train, he pulls out his knitting.
He does.
I totally forgot about that. And I was like, yep, gotta be Hagrid.
Yeah. It's gotta be Hagrid.
You know, not only are you like fighting against the convention of what a knitter should be and look like.
Yes.
You know, Hagrid's a pure soul.
He is such a pure soul.
So we're going with Hagrid. Shout out for Hagrid.
Yes. I spend usually from like fall to the beginning of January or so, I spend re-listening to all 7 Harry Potter audiobooks.
Yeah.
It's like my yearly winter activity.
Yeah.
As I listen to all 7.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've still got a little bit of book one to go, so that's going to be a trip back.
Okay.
So number two, I'm also going to go for like a kind of obscure literature reference.
Excellent.
So there's a series of books that's called Millie Molly Mandy, and it's kind of, it's been written in like the 30s, 40s, and it's very, very quaint, very whimsical.
Love it.
Like a little girl, and she like lives with her mum and her dad and her aunties and her grannies, and there's just like the quintessential kind of English village vibe about that.
Yes.
And there's one little part where she's in the village shop where they sell all the haberdashery stuff and the wool and stuff like that. And she gets to mind the shop for like a, it must be like 10 minutes before someone pops out. And I think that, when I think back to it, like the idea of the haberdashery, being able to sit in there and like just be part of that.
Yeah,
that probably links a lot to my adult careers now, right?
Because that's just all we want to do is like be in the haberdashery now.
Yeah,
totally.
And there's a little like bit of that where she gets to buy a little skein of wool for granny with a penny, and then she has change for it, so she buys a little seed cake, and it's just like, oh. I think there's like, I suppose not a character for the granny knits, but there's the whole like ambiance of that with the knit that's like, oh, it's so very good for my soul, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I'd have to give a shout out for Millie Molly Mandy. Also, it's really satisfying to say.
That is really, I'm going to mess it up now though, because Millie, okay, Millie Molly Mandy. Millie Molly Mandy.
Yeah. And she has like a friend called like Little Susan, and there's like,
how
they go on little adventures.
Aww.
Good.
Okay, I'm going to have to hunt that one down.
Yeah. All right. For number one, I'd have to say Gromit from Wallace and Gromit.
You know, that came up when I was looking on stuff, but I'd never seen it.
Hey, well, do you know about it then?
I vaguely know about it.
Yeah.
I know it's claymation. I know, like, there's something to do with cheese.
Yes, there's a lot to do with cheese, yeah.
But that's about all I know.
Yeah, it's a little animation series done by a guy called Nick Park, who's gone and done, you know, there's films now, and there's, like, Creature Comforts, which is a great little series he did. But Wallace is a chap that cleans windows, and his dog is called Dromit, and he knits. It's like, he has a very, is it anthropomorphic? No.
Anthropomorphic, yeah.
Anthropomorphic, yeah. Life. And there's one of my favorite scenes where he's sat in bed and he's knitting. And I think that was like, when I used to knit as when I was younger, I just knit for the sake of doing it. I just knit just long lengths.
Yes.
And I felt very keen to
this
clay dog. And he has the most expressive eyebrows.
Oh.
So you can feel his indignation of like wool running out at that point.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. We've all
done
that, yes.
Oh, and there's good, yeah. Shaun the Sheep is a character, which is
how. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
It was one of the films, A Close Shave.
Man.
Yes. So there's a whole other facet in there. And, oh, yeah, there's a character who owns a wool shop called Wendelline. But, yeah, no, Gromit's the star of the show there for me. And
that's a good list. That's a good diverse list.
As a fictional character, he's pretty cool.
Nice. So I'm going to go for witches.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for, like, nice British history.
Yeah, well, there we go.
There we go.
I can't escape it. I'll try and get a bit more content for next time.
Yeah. That's all right. Now we're the...
Wonderful. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, I guess that's the end of the podcast.
All right.
Thanks to Bristol.
It has been an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me blather on into your microphone.
Hey, anytime.
It's been a pleasure.
So we're back with Lydia and I. Me and Lydia. Grandma, her name.
Lydia and me.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Here we go. That took me way longer than it should.
Well, thanks for listening. If you ever want to get in touch, we of course have the email, which is podcast@pompommag.com. And there's a Ravelry group. Lots of fun people there. Join in. And there's also the pompom website, pompommag.com. You can buy the magazine.
Yay!
Hey. So, yeah, goodbye from us, Edinburgh.
Goodbye from Edinburgh.
Yeah. Happy knitting. Bye.
Happy knitting. Bye.
Pomcast is produced by Lydia Clark and Sophie Scott, with lots of help from Eli Block, who created the original music for this show. For more Eli-related music, go to goodgirlandbadtimes.com. Also, thanks to Bristol Ivy for being our guest host this episode.
Thanks as always to Megan Fernandez, co-creator and editor of Pom Pom Quarterly, and thanks also to the lovely Amy and Gail.
Oh, and thanks to Celia, who helped.
And thanks to Celia!
Yeah. Thanks to our interviewees, Kate and Rach from Spin Cycle, and our sponsors, Eric and Knight. Of course, a big thank you to all you pom-pom buyers, subscribers, and listeners. A lot of people came to say hi at the show, so thanks to you as well.
Yay!
You can buy your copy of the magazine and subscribe too at the online shop www.pompommag.com/shop.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and why not leave a review? Send any feedback or ideas to podcast@pompommag.com. And don't forget to keep in touch with us via the podcast group on the Pom Pom Ravelry Forum.
Awesome. So pro.
Just practicing for BBC4, it's all good.